Oh, thank you, Barney, just for the opportunity to share tonight, and hello to everybody on the line, and thank you for being here and for the opportunity to share with you as well. You know, all of us have goals, I think, in our lives, particularly in relationship to our walk with God. And, you know, for me, over the past several period of time, I've just been really developing a greater burning desire to see my life transformed, not by anything I do or by my own works, but like Romans 12:2 says, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, to allow that word to transform me in a greater way. And it's just been something that I've just had this burning desire and excitement to walk in greater intimacy with God and to really gain a clearer vision of His plan for my life. I guess you would say it's an ongoing pursuit for all of us, but as I went to God's Word and continued to go to His Word, He showed me that I was still trying to figure it out on my own and in my own strength. And really the basis of my problem was threefold. One, I was still identifying the old man nature in place of the new man nature. Two, I needed to saturate my mind with the reality of Christ's accomplishments for me, and that constant moment-by-moment saturation would absolutely transform my life beyond imagination. And number three, that I needed to fully accept His love for me. I needed to fully accept that I could trust Him. Mm-hmm. And finally, that I really meant everything to Him. I know that sounds kind of odd, having been through many different pursuits, wanting to know Him, be a part of His life, and walk in intimacy with Him. But, you know, we all have different backgrounds and different things impacting our lives. And frankly, in my situation, because of several incidents involving men, which I won't go into detail, in my childhood, I developed a serious fear of men. Mm-hmm. As a child, my father was God to me. And I feared my father because I couldn't trust my father, although he was a loving man. So the evil one used those early childhood experiences to block me from God. But he's not blocking me anymore.
Amen.
You know, God had to show me that I could truly lay down every burden, every care, every fear, every hurt, and the shame of my own weakness, and maybe even worse, the overwhelming guilt for the people I had hurt and let down and the impact on their lives. Oh, boy. But the one thing that God showed me more than anything else is that I had not truly learned to trust Him and fully receive and embrace His love for me, and most importantly, I had not truly accepted, I had not fully surrendered to Him and to the reality that He is for me. And that's the title of my teaching tonight, God is for you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to start. Romans 6:3. You know, our identification is in Christ and not in the old man, the old nature. The old man nature cannot receive love. The old man nature is on the run, seeking his own ways. In Romans 6:3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's the walk in the new man. God wants us to know that He has provided us with a new life. Isn't that exciting? We have a new life. Doesn't that Amen. Put some enthusiasm in our hearts? Doesn't that transform the old man away and transform our hearts to walk by the new man? Verse 4 of Romans 6 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." I read that, so that we can walk in newness of life. Then in verse 6 it says, "Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin." Ken Petty wrote regarding this section in Romans 6:6, know this, that our old man was crucified with him. How futile it is to try to perfect the old man. We are to recognize that it has already been crucified with Christ. In verse 21, I'm going to skip over verse 11 and I'll come back to it. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's love and grace has provided the sacrifice of his Son that we might reign in life through righteousness. To be righteous, we have to be perfectly clean. We have to be sanctified. We have to be redeemed. We have to be made clean by the finished work of Christ. And verse 11 of Romans says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to reckon ourselves alive unto God in our union with and identification in Christ. We are not waiting to be made alive with Christ. The new life is an accomplished reality that we already enjoy. The word reckon is a verb in the imperative or command mood. This is so significant because it is the first command given in Romans and thus in the church epistles. We are to do it, to reckon it. The word reckon is the Greek word logizomai. We get the English word logic comes from that word. Logizomai means to count up or weigh the reasons, to calculate or conclude. In the light of the context of this word, to reckon is to arrive at a conclusion after careful consideration of the testimony of God's word regarding Jesus Christ's finished work as the second Adam. It is a judgment based not on feelings, experience, or human reasoning, but strictly and solely on the evidence of God's word. And then let's go from here, and let me read this other part here. Isn't it remarkable that the first command given to us as born-again ones deals not with reforming our behavior, but with changing our thinking patterns? Mm-hmm. It isn't to quit lying or stealing or to get rid of all the bad habits in our lives. Rather, we are commanded first to renew our minds by reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. We are to conclude that we are permanently dead to sin and forever out of any relationship to it. And that we are permanently alive and live in an unbroken relation to God. Legalism will always focus on human behaviors while grace emphasizes the relationship we have with God. The legalist commands do it. The ones who live by grace acknowledge it is done. The next verse we'll look at briefly is Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God has made us righteous. He has made us holy. And he has given us full entrance into his heart and his and a relationship with him. The devil tries to block, to prevent us from entering into a rich and intimate relationship with God, but Jesus Christ blew up the wall.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The old man was the corrupt nature we all inherited from Adam. You know, we didn't commit the original sin. Weiss comments that it is old in the sense of worn out, decrepit, useless. We all share together in that old man. If our old man was crucified with Christ, the life we used to live in the world is our past. Who we used to be was crucified, dead and buried. Too many believers are still living in light of their past, trying to find their meaning and sense of fulfillment in the world or from the Bible, but in their own strength. They continue to identify with Adam instead of reckoning the old man dead. They are trying to reform it. Yeah. And then verse 20, and then the words put off in verse 22 are used
of taking something off as one who would put off garments. Phillips thus translates this verse, "No, what you learned was to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through with lust, illusion." Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The spirit here refers to the inner life of man. I love this. Knox translates, "There must be a renewal in the inner life of your minds." Godspeed renders it, "You must adopt a new attitude of mind." This is the pursuit that's burning in my heart, and I'm sure all of you on this line, that I want to have the reality of God's, of the new man, make a change in the inner life of my heart. Let's look at Colossians 3:10. There's just a couple more verses I want to look at here. I mean, you want to keep this brief. Colossians 3:10. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We know that the old man is Adam and the new man is Christ in us, which is created by God." Let's look at close by here. Colossians 3:9 through 11 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Colossians 3, close by, verses 1 through 3 say, "If ye have then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with us." How futile it is to try to perfect the old man. We are to recognize that it's already been crucified with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll just read this to you, says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things, behold, all things are become new." See, we have a new life, and we are a new creation in Christ. And it's as we study and meditate and consider the truth and how this truth impacts us individually in our lives, as we allow God to work in us and show us specifically and individually how He is working in relationship with us, that He causes the transformation. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Galatians 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. This first should read, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, a new creature is everything." You know, we are a new creation and we have a new life, as I said. God has restored our standing in state. We are no longer held back by the sin nature, but have been ushered into the throne room of God to live in intimate partnership with Him, reigning in life. You know, I mentioned earlier that God had really helped me understand three areas that I needed to go to His Word on. And I had mentioned to you that the number one thing that God had showed me was that I needed to surrender to Him and to the reality that He is for me. When I say He is for me, I'm not just saying it in a mild way, but He is for me. I'm saying He is for me. God is for me and God is for you. I had to accept that Christ through God had made me clean and was restoring my relationship greater than ever before, day by day. And enjoy this song by Natalie Grant called Clean.
I see a shatter, you see. Broken. you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe you.
You know, we're all in different places in our lives, and maybe some of you struggle in some similar ways, or perhaps you have not fully surrendered to the reality that God is your friend, that he's your daddy, and that he holds your hand and never lets go, that he cares about every detail of your life, every thought. For your parents, for you parents, your concern for the well-being of your children, your grandchildren. Maybe you haven't fully surrendered to the reality that your future, your health, your prosperity, retirement, how to recover from the effects of the pandemic, how to get back on your feet. Maybe you haven't surrendered to the truth that you are the first thing he thinks about when he gets up in the morning and the last thing he thinks about when he goes to bed. He cares for you 24/7, 365 days a year, eternal, and that you are everything to him. And I mean everything. You know, there's one person in this world that doesn't want you to believe that, and we all know who that is. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you haven't yet surrendered to the truth that there's no hurt that he doesn't see, that there's no desire he will not fill for you, that he allowed his son to be crucified, to be brutally beaten and spit upon and publicly disgraced so that he could have an intimate moment-by-moment love relationship with you. Oh, how he yearns for you. His every joy, his every reward is to spend time with you. And finally, perhaps you haven't fully surrendered to the truth that God is for you. I'm not just saying God is for you, oh no. I am saying God is for you. He's for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is for you. Barney, thank you again so much for the opportunity to share, and I love you all. God bless you.